Right, let's have a look at Bristol Rovers then. Regular listeners will know that the original names of clubs is one of my favourite things. I'm still very, very happy to have discovered that Rotherham were born out of a long-dead Victorian football club called Lunar Rovers. I'm not sure we'll beat that. Bristol Rovers' original name in 1883, Matt?
I do not know.
The Black Arabs. How problematic is that? But we're going to have to work our way through. It's because they wore black shirts and they played on the next door pitch to a rugby club called the Arabs. They changed it very quickly, thank God. They became Eastville Rovers in 1884, Bristol Eastville Rovers in 1897, and then in 1899, Bristol Rovers. They were part of the 1920 club, joining the Football League there and rattling about in the third division for 33 years. But then they recorded their highest finishes. In 1956 and 1959, sixth place in the second flight. It's been downhill since then. Do you know the closest they've come to European football? It was in 1992. They had to toss a coin with West Ham for the right to play in the Anglo-Italian Cup. And the coin tossing was conducted by West Ham over the phone. Now, call me naturally suspicious, but I'd be a little bit worried about that. I can't believe they went for it. Bristol Rovers had a decent time of it under Gerry Francis in the late 80s. Ian Holloway started his managerial career in the 90s. But even with goal scorers like Barry Hales and Jamie Curtin and Nathan Ellington, they never quite pushed on. They got out of the basement with Paul Trollope and Lenny Lawrence in 2007, fell back in 2011, and then they tumbled into non-league in 2014. But under the stewardship of one Daryl Clark, they bounced straight up to the Football League through the playoffs and then straight up again in their first season back. They finished 10th last season and they looked like they were going to do better than that this year, especially when they thumped Northampton 6-0 in October. But since then, Matt, they've lost six of their last seven.
They have. It's a really concerning run of form. They've dropped to 18th and Daryl Clark, as you say, impressive young manager who likes his team to play attacking style football, which happened against Northampton and hasn't really happened since.
Well, you spoke to him, so let's hear from him right now.
I mean, if you look at the history of where we've come in the last 3.5 years, we were a new team to the division last year and had our highest finish in 17 years and back-to-back promotions before that. So I think if you look at it, sometimes it evens itself out a little bit and you do a bad run, and that's what we're certainly on at the minute. So as soon as we get the next win on the board, hopefully that turns the corner. It's a tough competitive league, this one, with a lot of championship, shall we call it, infrastructure clubs in the division. It's getting harder and harder. We're doing all our best so we can compete as possible. We want to just keep moving the club forward. So, but the Christmas period is going to be vital for us and make sure that we can turn the corner as quickly as we possibly can, and I'm sure that's coming around the corner.
Do you want a fact about Bristol, Matt?
I'd love another fact about Bristol. One less problematic, if possible.
Yeah. Ribena was invented by a University of Bristol scientist in 1933 at the National Fruit and Cider Institute.
Their gift to the world.
Isn't it? Back to Rovers, though. What is going wrong? Is it injuries? Are they missing anyone?
Yeah, absolutely. They're missing Billy Bowden, the forward. He was back against Blackburn. I think he played 76 minutes and he came off the bench in the previous game as well. But it's definitely no coincidence that his six-week injury absence coincided with their terrible run of form. And they've lost six in a row in all competitions now, 9 out of the last 10. And he's really their best attacking talent. There was talk of a £500,000 bid from a championship club in the summer for him. So having a player of that quality missing from your side in League One is a huge blow.
Ian, have you seen much of Billy Bowden?
Yeah, I have, yeah. Talented player. And when a club like Bristol Rovers loses their star player, if you like, then it's tough for them to replace him. You know, it's not as if you're a Premier League club that can go spend millions on players that have got 22 players. So if one's out injured, another one can come in their place. So, you know, to lose someone, and his goals has been important this year for them, and it's suddenly you haven't got that. You've got to fill the void somehow, and you know, unfortunately they've gone on a poor run, but hopefully, you know, his return will coincide with an upturn of form for Bristol Rovers.
Ian, you played with Daryl. What kind of character is he?
Yeah, he was a young lad at Mansfield when I was there, and he's he's done very, very well with his career as a player. I think he went into non-league. I think he obviously cut his teeth in non-league management as well, and you know, I think has done fantastically well with the Bristol Rovers side. That there's pressure there, you know, it's a city that's got two football clubs. Bristol City are doing well at this moment in time. So, you know, the stick that he'll be getting as a Bristol Rovers manager will be really, you know, people won't be able to really fathom out unless you've been in that position. And, you know, there's a pressure for him to continually achieve. Now, I think this is his first black period in his career at Bristol Rovers. So, you know, I think he should be given a little bit of leeway. He's the sort of character who will galvanise players. He'll not let them lose confidence for too long. And he's a good character to have around the place.
And you spoke there about Bristol City doing well, and that makes it even harder, really, for Darrell Clarke in this run of form. And Bristol City obviously poached his top scorer, Matty Taylor, last season as well, so making it even more difficult for them.
This is what their new owner, Wael El Kadi, said at a SoccerX event in September 2017. Of course, his family bought the club in February 2016. September 2017, he said he was building up a club from scratch, and he pointed to what is now a well-staffed academy, a development squad, backroom staff. He said, "We're working on the training ground, building it up slowly. I believe when you have everything in place, that's when you can start having something which is sustainable and your squad can start competing properly." He also had lots to say about Darrell Clarke, who said was a very talented young manager. And it seems generally, you know, the kind of fears that you would have when owners come in from overseas that they might not get it, he seems to get it.
Yeah, I think a long-term focus is definitely what you want to hear from a new owner. And if they're working on investing in the youth facilities and the coaching there, then that's going to serve them well in the long run, as long as they don't lose out under EPPPPP.
All the P's. Financially, turnover is up. It's all the way up to £5 million now, though losses are also up £3 million. It should be said that a lot of them are considered exceptional from the ongoing legal battle with Sainsbury's, because they do have ambitions to build a new stadium over at Stoke Gifford, but that development collapsed in the summer, so they've pretty much had to start again, as far as I understand. One of the things here, it's expectations, isn't it? It's been back-to-back promotions, a season of consolidation, and now a bad run. Chris Lyons in the Football League paper, it's £1.50, just £1.50. He said it's been nothing but success over the last few years. The expectation level has got really high now because the fans have been used to seeing us win more often than not. It hasn't been much fun for the fans to watch us this season, and we need to make sure they enjoy watching week in, week out. I have to say, I spent this morning trawling through Bristol Rovers forums, trying to, you know, gauge the mood and pick out some nasty sound bites. I'd say the majority are still very much behind him.
Yeah, and so they should be, because he's had a lot of success there and brought them some decent performances as well this season even. I mean, you know, to go away to Northampton, thrash them 6-0, there's not many sides that have away victories like that over the course of a campaign. And I think they were probably gutted at the weekend after taking a lead against Blackburn, and that could have been a result really to turn around this poor form. But they just came up against the Blackburn side that are in such good form at the moment and have so much firepower that it was difficult to really hold them off.
Yeah, that was Blackburn's third win on the bounce, wasn't it?
That's right, third win on the bounce and looking for a fourth against Blackpool tonight.
And it all went very wrong very quickly. Ellis Harrison had actually given Bristol Rovers the lead. Blackburn back in 2 minutes later with Charlie Mulgrew penalty, and then Dominic Samuel getting a winner 6 minutes afterwards. Darrell Clarke said, "We've got to keep going. There's a lot of good things out there, a lot of good performances. The fans were superb. We've just got to brush ourselves down." Ian, as a manager, how hard is it to keep your chin up when you've got, you know, the results are going against you and maybe a small percentage of the fans are going against you?
Yeah, I think you've already said it. I think supporters have to have a sense of realism. Bristol Rovers, back-to-back promotions, like you say, a year of consolidation. You know, what do they expect? What's the next level? Everyone wants to have a promotion run. Of course they do. But they've no divine right in League One to go through that division and romp away with it. You know, you've spoken about Blackburn and the riches they've got. I know Scunthorpe are in the top four or five of biggest payers. Scunthorpe, you know, they average 4,000, I think, this season. You know, so for Bristol Rovers to go on again another promotion push, you know, we really have to have a real sense of realism about it, and there has to be that building period, and this might be that period in their history at the moment where they do consolidate, they do improve the infrastructure, they do manage to steadily build that squad, and then maybe next year you have another push, but to you know, to question the manager, what he's done there, you know, on the back of a 6 or 7 game spell is madness. It's crazy. And Darryl needs that support, and it sounds as though he's got that support from the owners, from the chairman, quite rightly. And everyone needs to pull together to try and get themselves through that sticky spell. And that's all it is, 6 games. You know, and say, see where they are after Christmas, after a busy period, and go on from there.